What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into the minds of everyone. Yet they cannot find what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them as people of faith but to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. This is God's gift. Second reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in the people of faith, and the God of peace will be with you. So ends the readings. I'm going to share a biography that Tessie wrote for me to share with you. Henry is the youngest child of Ubaldo Doble, a Philippine army officer, and Emiliana Pimentel, an army nurse. There are six children, five boys and one girl. As a child, Henry excelled in art and painting, so that at age 9, his work was displayed in the Children's Museum of Manila. He was an excellent student with interests varying from science to technology to arts and sports. He was involved in school plays, in basketball and bowling, as well as with community carnivals, where he took the roles of either prince or king. Henry graduated from Manila Science High with honors. At the University of the Philippines, Henry pursued his dual interests of science and the art. Graduated with a degree in architecture, he was active in all facets of college life and was a member of several campus organizations. After graduation, he promptly passed the board exams and was a licensed architect. He worked with the architect firm of Mendoza and Associates. He also worked in the U.S. Naval Base in the province of Zambales, Olongapo City. This is where he found his faith and converted to the Methodist Church. Henry married a Filipino-American nurse, and in 1986, he came to the U.S. and lived in Saugus. The marriage was blessed with a daughter, Kathleen Hazel. Unfortunately, the marriage ended in divorce. Henry moved after this to North Hollywood to be closer to his sister Tessie and her family. And he also joined the First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood. In his new country, Henry never gave up the notion of his natural interests and gifts. He would visit interesting architectural installations and buildings, draw and paint and ride his bike, and marvel at the beauty of nature around him. He joined many activities from church, like going to the Rose Bowl and watching Broadway plays. He was also a member of the United Methodist Church Choir. Henry was described by the apartment manager as a good man, his next-door neighbor as a nice guy, as a high school classmate, as a kind man, his sister as a man of faith. His niece said, "He's an intelligent guy with a quest for knowledge." And the question then comes to us, and us, how would you describe Henry? Tessie's going to open this time of remembrance for us.
Yes, right there. Am I too tall? Well, briefly, Pastor Joey already read a short description of Henry. But let me just tell you that Henry and I hold special positions in our family of six children. He's the youngest, so he's very well favored. And I'm the only girl, so I'm also favored. Only Henry and I are here in the United States. Our other brothers are in the Philippines, and that's where we will have the funeral. One of our brothers already preceded him. So when he came to the United States in 1986, he lived in Saugus with his wife and his daughter. Recently, I heard that his daughter is completing her doctorate degree. So we're very proud of her. I'm very proud to say she took after Henry. He was a very intelligent man. This First United Methodist Church, he considered his home, his family, his strength, and his fellowship. I remember very well, he would enthusiastically tell me stories about the fun times he had with the people from his church in the Rose Parade. And this happened many years. He would go to concerts with people from church. He would talk about playing tennis with someone from church. In fact, if I remember right, his dentist is from this church. And his tax preparer, I believe, is from this church. And you know, Jeffrey, as the choir director, Henry would actually miss family gatherings because he had choir practice. So he loved this church, and I thank you all for the love and support. Now, Father Joey has a very special place in Henry's heart. Henry would call me and would talk no less than 90 minutes, even more. And at the end of whatever consulting he's called me for, he will end up by saying, well, let me talk to Pastor Joey and see what he says. So, Pastor Joey, thank you very much. You have given him a lot of your precious moments. He found security here. Thank you so much. And he actually also involved me in this church. He would announce, Tessie, Christmas trees on sale. So my husband and I would come here, the church lot, and we would take home a beautiful, noble tree. When there's arts and crafts here, he would call me, and I would take home some goodies. Yeah. And I also remember watching him in the stage play here. I believe it's a passion play. And I believe he actually took the role of Jesus Christ. And if that's not true, and my memory didn't serve me well, I know that he participated in the passion play with a major role. And that's not surprising, because when he was in the elementary and high school, he would be on stage as well. So this is really his home, and I'm very, very happy that we are here today to celebrate his life. And thank you for all of you here. And I thank God for the gift of Henry's life. 61 years, Lord. And 61 years, you have sent Henry only people who loved him. So thank you for accepting him in your kingdom of welcome and plenty. I thank you for your presence here. I am very touched that his high school classmates are here. Actually, my high school classmates are here too. But I would also like to acknowledge first the presence of my husband, Bert, and my daughter, Tricia, and her friends. They're here. My classmates from college are also here. My friends from St. Genevieve Catholic Church, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, you're all here. Members of Couples for Christ. And our neighbors, we grew up in Guadalcanal, Santa Mesa, Manila. They're here. So my cousins from Pasadena, Fresno, from Fountain Valley, San Diego, Simi Valley, you're all here. It's very comforting that you're here and joining me, Trisha and Bird. Thank you so much.
Are there others? Certainly.
Today we celebrate the life of Henry Doble. December 31st, 1955, April 23rd, 2017. To us who have known Henry all those years, Henry was family, a colleague in the profession, a co-worker, a fellow church member, a friend, a brother in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a classmate. A number of us present here today have known Henry since the 1960s. Henry was our classmate from Manila Science High School. The main building of that high school bears the name of a prominent American educator. Bordner, I thought his name was. Before the Second World War, American students in Manila would go to Bordner Building to attend high school. Then it was the Manila Central High School. The class of 1972, to which Henry belongs, started out small, which became much smaller by graduation. We were 104 total on graduation day. You can imagine we were close-knit. To his class 72 classmates, Henry is truly family and friend. This bond we have for one another would play a major role in our lives later, including Henry's. Henry played the guitar. Boys and girls, classmates, we're drawn to him because of this gift. We are the 60s generation. And Henry was one of the few who made us connect to the beat of the time, its music, its songs. I noticed that Henry looked at ease in a group setting. On to more serious stuffs in life, college. Henry and many of us from class 72 went to the same university, the University of the Philippines, or just UP, which was established by the United States in 1908. Henry took up architecture. Almost all of the freshman and sophomore students took their classes at the College of Arts and Sciences, and Henry and I were no exceptions. On occasions, I would see Henry playing the guitar. At the time, it was the 1970s, and a political turmoil was brewing. Martial law was declared, gatherings by big groups were banned. The pleasant, free environment that Henry and us knew then was no longer. I'm sure Henry and his singing bros did not like it all. Even prayer meetings in groups behind the UP library was banned. The University of the Philippines was hit hard as it was considered as ground zero for student political activism. Then we went on with our lives, and Henry was taking architecture classes in the engineering building. Christian groups became more visible and heard about because students probably needed alternatives to student political activism, fraternities, sororities on campus. Inter-varsity Christian Fellowship, Navigators, Campus Crusade for Christ were often heard announcing their activities and Bible studies. Through the grapevine, it was heard that Campus Crusade for Christ had made inroads into the class of 1972. Sharing the good news of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As big a campus as UP, the rumor was Henry was one of those who accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. Then there was news blackout. On to graduation, we went to look for employment. Some went to grad schools, some got married, and some of us went to study and or work outside of the country. I was minding my own business here in Los Angeles when I received a phone call that the class of 1972 would have a reunion. The ball started rolling. After a long hiatus, we got reconnected with our long lost friends with class 1972. The first reunion became get-togethers, grand reunions, and more reunions. Members of class 72 held them wherever. Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Canada, Australia, Hong Kong, and Europe. Yes. We have a classmate in Rome. Sometimes we would travel long distances to get to locations of these reunions. Going back to Henry, my remembrance of Henry would not be complete without sharing his deep thoughts. Feelings and convictions. During those long trips to reunions and back, Henry, the classmates, and I would carpool. And when Henry and I was left in the car after dropping off our classmates, we would talk about God and how God loves him very much. I remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Henry knows that he was a sinner that needed a Savior. An amazing love that God to give his only Son, Jesus Christ, for him. The Apostle John continues in his chapter 14, Verse 6 of the Bible says that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus was saying. Henry confessed that he is a sinner and accepted Jesus Christ into his heart and life. Henry has placed his trust and faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. I am reminded of St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and save. Henry realized that God's love is not only for him, but for everyone who believes. That's why Henry, in this life, endeavored to share the good news of Jesus Christ by speaking about it and living it. I know that not all would agree with him, with Henry, but nevertheless, Henry would continue sharing the gospel in whatever way. Henry knew that his Savior and Lord is the living God, and Jesus was not raised again, and if Jesus was not raised again, his faith and the teaching about it are useless. Our Savior is alive. our Savior is living. I am reminded of St. Paul's letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. We have our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all, and especially of those who believe. The gospel of salvation is offered to all in Jesus Christ. In St. Paul's letter to the Christians to the church in Corinth, it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. Henry was not ashamed to share the gospel, even if he is not believed or agreed with. St. Paul's letter to Timothy again says, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him that day. Henry is a contented man. God's grace is sufficient for him. Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Paul's letter to the Corinthians says, my grace is sufficient for you. Even at the last moment, I would think that Henry has blessed assurance of eternal peace and life with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Paul's letter to the Philippians, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hebrews also says that just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin again, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Thessalonica says that Jesus Christ is coming again, and the hope is for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the Lord in Christ will rise again. Thanks, Henry. You've been an inspiration to me, Norma and Ruth Ann, my daughter. Please intercede for them. You fought the good fight. You finished the race. Goodbye in this life. I'll see you in the next.
Thank you. Are there others who would like to share? Yes.
Hello. I am Myrna, and a classmate of Henry, Manila Science High School. Just anecdotal experience I have with Henry. I heard you talk about our many gatherings, high school gatherings here in the States, and every time there is a high school gathering, I'm always the one who will call Henry, making sure that he's aware of where the gathering is and who's in town, etc., etc. So one time I called him and he said he couldn't come because he has car trouble. I said, that's not a problem, Henry. I'll swing by and pick you up. We're gonna carpool. Henry says, oh, I can't do that. I can't carpool with you. I says, why? Henry said, it's going to create the appearance of impropriety. I said, what? I said, Henry, we're just carpooling. I know, he said, and you know, you're a married woman and I'm single and people would see you were in the car and they might think something. I says, okay, Henry. And so I called Rick, Rick, you better pick up Henry. I couldn't do it. That's my happy memories of Henry.
That's fun. Thank you for sharing. Are there others? This is our choir director, Jeff Thomas.
Especially when I heard that Henry had given up some family gatherings to be at choir practice, I wanted to come down and say thank you for sharing him with us. He was our good friend. I've known him for as long as he was a member of this church. I started in 86, and he would have started not too long after that. And about 15 years ago, I needed a car. And Henry had what I believe was an 87 Honda Civic. And I knew that the air conditioning would run really well because he never ran the air conditioning at all because it dragged the engine down in the car. But that car served me very well for quite a while. I needed it really badly when he sold it to me. I mean, it was an old car, had a lot of miles on it, but it was an absolute lifesaver for me. And yes, we loved Henry. How could you not? I never knew Henry to be anything other than a kind, sweet, sweet soul. And we miss him terribly. Thank you.
Are there others? I'll remind you that there will be a reception after. This is Roger Eshelman, our organist.
I'll just say something briefly, that I've been closer to Henry in the past, say a year or so, and I invited him to come and sing in the choir again because he had not been in the choir for a long time. And I would talk with him about various things. In fact, he was going to be the secretary to the Methodist men because I'm the president. And he, after a few days, he decided, no, I can only do choir, so I'm going to focus on choir. So that's where he was putting his attention. He would always come almost at every rehearsal and every Sunday he'd be here singing. And I understand, because I'm the organist, so I don't hear the choir individuals that much. So, but I understand that he had a really good voice from Nyleen, one of the sopranos, couldn't be here today. So we have some good memories of Henry, and I really appreciate hearing about all the different your accounts about Henry, because I didn't know about all these many sides of his life and so forth. So wanted to mention that, and thank you for coming. I appreciate having you all here.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Well, remember, there will be a reception following this time, and you will be able to visit with the family and each other and share these lovely stories. I have a note from the Reverend Jane Verstoop Koss, who I think came to the church around the same time as Henry and ultimately went into ministry in the United Methodist Church. And she writes this: while I attended this wonderful church, I became friends with Henry when we attended then Pastor Reverend Tony Yim's spiritual gifts class. There were only six of us in the class. Afterwards, we'd go for coffee and talk about what we learned. I remember Henry to be a very kind yet shy young man. He was always interested in becoming involved in the church in various activities. We both sang in the choir in those days. Henry helped with church cleanup days and the annual Christmas nativity, and was always interested in learning about God and Jesus through Bible study and Sunday school. One year, Henry was falsely accused of stealing at his place of employment. Henry was deeply distraught. He turned to Pastor McDonald for counsel. Reverend Joey believed in Henry and wrote a letter affirming him as a Christian and his Christian character. I remember how much this meant to Henry. I had forgotten about that, but I would affirm his character. Henry loved his family, his young nieces and nephews, and spending time with them. Once I had the honor of meeting them and eating their delicious food. Over the years, we have lost contact with each other. Nevertheless, I will always be grateful for his friendship during the time I lived in North Hollywood. So you hear that theme over and over and over again. And in that note to the Philippians, where Paul is talking about in that, what I like to call the whatever paragraph, whatever is good, whatever is helpful, whatever is holy, whatever is kind, whatever is just, whatever is fair. Henry endeavored to live to those ideals. I know he could be irritating. I was his pastor for 27 years. I know that character. But you couldn't stay mad at Henry for more than about 10 seconds, could you? He had that lovely character about him that called you back into conversation with him. I was talking with Tessie, and she had said something akin to Henry saying at one point in a conversation with her, I hope I don't annoy Pastor Joey. And she said, Henry, you're my brother, and I love you. I can assure you, you annoy Pastor Joey. But not for very long. I spoke to him sometimes every day. If something was troubling him, he would call me. And it wasn't always a long conversation, but he was troubled, and he sought resolution. So whatever is honorable, whatever is kind, whatever is loving, these are the ideals you've spoke about, Henry, over and over and over again. Those are the gifts that live on in our hearts and minds. Those memories keep Henry alive in our hearts and minds. What a glorious life. It wasn't long enough. I'm just a few years older than him. I wasn't sure how old he was until Tessie gave me the exact date. It's probably on our record somewhere, but he gave what he could as long as he could, and what we are left with are the treasure of these memories. Share those memories with family and friends. Be that gentle witness that he sought to be. Not overbearing, just a soft and gentle witness. That's a wonderful gift. And I bet when you share these stories, you won't be able to share the stories without smiling and thinking and seeing Henry in your heart of hearts. Pray with me, if you will. Gracious God, we give thanks for Henry. For a time he was ours, and now eternally he is yours. Keep true in us those sweet and gentle gifts which we can remember over time and space, and create a tapestry of Henry's life that will be a blessing to all who know him, and even those who do not. Keep true in us his gifts, that we might live towards the best and brightest ideals that he manifest. In the name and love of Christ, amen. I think we, is it 707, somebody?
No.
What? Oh, okay. Jeff is gonna sing one more song, and then we're gonna sing a song together.
I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you can know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You're no stranger to the rain. Go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cried the day you left us. We gathered around your grave to grieve. I wish I could see the angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice sing. Go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son.
As you can tell, even though I wrote this service, I don't always go by script. What's important about that song that Jeff Schiff sang is Henry heard it and commented both to me and Jeff how much he loved it. Several of you mentioned that Henry played guitar and sang. He had a really lovely voice, but he was somewhat shy, I guess, about sharing it, but I can still hear him sing occasionally. And the thing about music is it crosses cultural differences in language and even differences in faith. And that's part of what we need to remember as we're here. So stand and we'll receive the blessing, and then you'll go and share some fellowship and some time and some goodies. Oh, see, he told me. First, another of Henry's favorite hymns. Stand up, because you'll sing better. In the red hymnals, 707. See, that's why I have music director to remind me.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons the hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In the end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
And now me the love of God, the grace we experience through the way and work and wonder of Jesus, and the gift of the Spirit who nudges and nourishes and helps us along life's path. Rest in your hearts and minds and eternally. Amen.